بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Chapter 25 on the explanation of the book of Tawheed. The author رحمه الله put the title باب chapter بيان شيء من أنواع السحر. Clarification of a number of types of magic or sorcery. In this title, he means making clear some realities and the rulings regarding these realities of pertaining to this matter. And we learned earlier that the sihr, magic, is divided into two types or two categories, we can say. Disbelief and fisq. Disbelief and fisq. Now, how to differentiate between the two? I may ask you this question, please. How to differentiate between the two? When it is kufr, disbelief, and when it is fisq, sin. Well, when it is considered to be disbelief and when it is considered to be fisq. If it's kufr, if utilizes the shayateen and the like, it's kufr. So some of the types he is going to mention, rahimahullah, includes kufr and includes fisq, as entailed by the legal evidences. The author rahimahullah began by relating that Ahmad rahimahullah, Imam Ahmad, narrated from Muhammad bin Ja'far on the authority of Muhammad bin Ja'far, who said that Auf related from Hayyam bin Al-Ala, who said, حَدَّثَنَا قَطْنُ بْنُ قَبِيصَ عَنْ أَبِيهِ, from his father, that he heard the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, إِنَّ الْعِيَافَةَ وَالطَّرْقَ وَالطِّيَارَةَ مِنَ الْجِبْتِ من الجبت. Who said that al-iyafa, foretelling events by the flight of birds and drawing lines in the earth to predict events, al-tiyara, omens and portents, are from jibt, are from jibt. Acts of sorcery. Now, what are these things? First one is al-iyafa, which means to cry out at birds, either for good or bad omen. This was established with the Arabs. Sometimes the Arabs used to restrain or chid or cry at the bird for hunting, but this is not considered from al-iyafa. This is excluded. Sometimes they would cry out, and if flying they turned their right sides, he augured well from them. But if they're turned left aside, then it's evil. You understand? This is al-iyafa. This is al-iyafa. So foretelling events by the flight, direction of the flight. Now what about if the bird goes forward? We don't know whether they stopped or they would repeat the cry again at them. So this is from Egypt. This is from Egypt, acts of sorcery. The second one is At-Tarq. At-Tarq. And here Awf, one of the narrators, explained what it meant. As it meant drawing lines on earth to predict events. And this is a matter known to them, to the Arabs. They used to draw lines on sand as a means of sorcery and fortune telling, or foretelling rather. And mostly it was done by women. And no one knows how they reached their objectives or what they claim to know of the unseen through these acts, and that such and such will occur in accordance with their ways. This is a type of jibt, of sorcery. If someone says that there is an authentic report from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that there was a prophet who drew lines, and he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so if they do it as they did, then that is allowable. This is when he was asked about drawing lines by the companions. So how is this understood? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said there was a prophet who drew lines, so if they do it as they did, that is allowable. This is answerable by two ways. First way is to say that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam made it conditional on something unattainable, because he said if they do it as they did. And what would make us know that they would do it as they did? So this is, he conditioned it on something unattainable. The second is to say that if the line drawing by the Prophet of the past came by way of revelation from Allah, in relation to what was done by this Prophet in particular, then there is no harm, because this will be taken as a sign whereby the revelation brings forth these lines and they teach them to the Prophet. However, with respect to these magic lines, then this is from the inspiration of Shaitan. Now, if someone says, well, the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to close the doors, all the doors, especially particular to this matter of shirk, why he didn't close the door in this case? The answer is, this it is as if this was something known, and Allah knows best, meaning that there was a prophet from the prophets who drew line. So therefore the Prophet ﷺ, it's a must upon him to answer. Answer relevant to this matter. And now we knew from the two ways of response, that the first one, that he conditioned it upon something which is unattainable, so what would one make us know? The second, that this could have been from the way of revelation. And what is a sign brought by the revelation? And the Prophet was taught regarding that. The third matter which the Prophet ﷺ referred to in this is At-Tiyara, omens and portents. And that this is from Egypt. And it is to have a bad omen from something seen or heard or known. And the Arabs used to have bad omens from the bird and also from time and place and people. And this is from shirk, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. And one should know that if the person opens for himself the door on omens, then the whole world will be restricted for him. And he would imagine everything as something bad and evil. There are people who exist. If they go out in the morning, or they leave their homes, and they meet someone who may have one eye only, he will consider that this is a bad omen. And then he would say, this is an evil day. And may return, or may close his shop. He may not even go for trade that day. Walayadhu billah. We seek refuge in Allah from this. There were those who also had bad omen from the day of Wednesday. And they say that this is a bad and evil day. Brings evil. And there are also those who used to have bad omen in some months, like the month of Shawwal. And especially when it comes to marriage in this month. And here we remember Aisha, Ummul Mu'mineen, may Allah be pleased with her. She nullified this bad omen, where we know that the contracted marriage on her was done in Sha'ban. Or rather, sorry for Shawwal, I mentioned Sha'ban, but it is Shawwal. And commenced in Shawwal, and she used to say to the wives of Allah's Messenger, may Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be upon him, and may Allah be pleased with all of them, أَيُّكُنَّ كَانَ أَحْظَى عِنْدَهُ مِنِّي. Who among the wives of Allah's Messenger was dearer to him than I? The answer is certainly no one. No one than her. So therefore the person must not think about this. Because it will spoil and make his life miserable. And what's obligated is to take the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the example, where he used to like al-fa'l, good word, and takes it as a good omen. The fa'l is a good word that one of you hears. So therefore the person should have fa'l in goodness, and should not give attention to these bad omens. And there are people who, if they follow this trend, you find them every time when they have a bad omen, they will leave their tasks and they will say, we'll not ever succeed in anything, and they will abandon them. And this is a mistake. Wrong. Everything that you see a benefit in it, then don't be lazy in trying to attain it. And try once, twice and more, until Allah opens the matter for you. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, he said that verily, al-ayafa, al-tarq, and al-tira are all acts of sorcery, of jibt. And we learned in the previous chapter from Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that al-jibt is sorcery. As to the saying of al-Hasan, which the author rahimahullah related, قال الحسن رنة الشيطان, meaning jibt, he said it means رنة الشيطان in the text which the author rahimahullah referred to concerning this chapter. He related the saying of al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah as rannatu shaytan, meaning that this appears to mean wahyu shaytan, the inspiration of shaytan, that this is from his inspiration and dictation. And there is no doubt that the one who takes his command from the inspiration given by shaytan, there is no doubt that he does a kind of kufr. And the fact that al-iyafa, foretelling events by flight of birds, is from magic, is from sorcery, is that because the person relies in it about something which is not real. What does it mean for a bird to go left or right or forward or backward? This has no basis. It has no legal nor physical cause. If the person relies upon this, then he will be depending upon something hidden, having no reality to it. And this is sihr, as we learned from the definition of the sihr in the language before. Similarly, at-tarq, the drawing of the line, because they use it in sihr to attain certain things through that. And al-tiyara, similarly, because it is like al-iyafa, exactly, depends upon something hidden. And we will talk about al-tiyara and what's excluded from it in the coming classes, inshallah. And the next narration which the author rahimahullah cited, the Abi Dawood wa Nasa'i wa Ibn Hibban, the author rahimahullah said, wa an Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam man iqtabasa shu'batan min an-nujum faqad iqtabasa shu'batan min as-sihr zada ma zad. Rawahu Abu Dawood wa isnaduhu sahih. It's reported on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma that he said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever learns a part of astrology has learned a part of magic. Those who learn more accumulate more, i.e. of sin. So this is referring to astrology, not the stars themselves. This is because you don't learn the stars. But what it refers to here is the astrology through which people consider as a means to find about worldly events. So they, you see them, for example, link such a star to another star when they come close or something like that, that they're something such and such will take place. And on the birth of a person on such a date of astrology, for example, that he will be a happy person. And with respect to another star, he will be a wicked. So they take from the various conditions of the stars evidences for varied worldly events. We know that these events take place by Allah's command. Their causes may be known to us and may be not known, but the stars has no relation to them. And that's why it came in the hadith of Zayd bin Khalid al-Juhani رضي الله عنه في غزوة الحديبية. In the conquest of Al-Hudaybiyah, that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed one night following a rainy, following rain that night, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this morning some of my slaves became believers in me and others disbelievers. Whoever said that we were given the rain, or the rain was sent by such and such, meaning star, then he is a disbeliever in me, believing in the star. And whoever said that the rain was sent upon us by Allah's favor and His mercy, then he is a believer in me and disbeliever in the star. So therefore, the stars don't bring rain, nor do they bring winds. Yes, truly, that sometimes and some seasons there occurs in them winds and rain. That is because these times and seasons are the places for these occurrences from wind and rain. But these are not, these times and seasons are not the cause or causes for rain or winds. And astrology is divided into two kinds. First, the astrological effects, and that is to relate the astrological conditions to events occurring on the earth, and this is forbidden and futile because of this hadith when the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man iqtabasa shu'batan min al-nujum," whoever learns a party of astrology, faqad iqtabasa shu'batan min al-sihr, has learned a party of magic or a part of magic. And also in the hadith of Zayd, whoever says, the rain was sent upon us by such and such star, and that he is a believer, disbeliever in me and believer in the star, or in the star. And also because of the saying of the Prophet ﷺ concerning the sun and the moon, that they are آياتان من آيات الله, two of Allah's signs, لا ينكسفان لموت أحد ولا لحياته, they are not eclipsed for the death of someone nor for his life. So these astrological conditions have no relation linking them to worldly events. The second astrological kind is that which is taken as a sign for directions and times. This is permissible, and it may be obligatory sometimes. Like as said by some of the scholars, if the time of Salah commences, then the Muslim must know, have knowledge of the signs of the Qibla from the stars and the sun and the moon. He can take them as leads for direction. قال الله تعالى in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 17, verse 15. وَأَلْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَ أَنْ تَمِيدَ بِكُمْ وَأَنْهَارًا وَسُبُلًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. And he has affixed into the earth mountains standing firm, lest it should shake with you, and rivers and roads, but or that you may guide yourselves. That you may guide yourselves. Surah An-Nahl 16:15. After he mentioned the signs on earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then referred to the heavenly signs. So he said in verse 16, the same surah, وعلامات وبالنجم هم يهتدون, and landmarks, and by the stars, you see, during the night the mankind guide themselves. So taking them as guides for certain times, there is no harm in that. Like to say, for example, if such and such a star appears, then the time of spring. And so, with respect to places, like the Qibla direction, the north, the south. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith said, فَقَدْ اِقْتَبَسَ شُعْبَةً مِنَ السِّحْرِ زَادَ مَا زَادْ. Whoever learns a part of astrology has learned a part of magic. Those who learn more accumulate more sin. What's intended here by the term sihr and magic, or magic, is more general than the non-sihr, the non-magic, because this is being used in relation to hidden matters that have no reality. Just like sihr has no reality and does not change the essences of things. However, it puts the person into delusion. And so therefore, the changes of the stars, things don't change by them. Then in his statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, zada ma zad, those who learn more accumulate more. They will accumulate more of sin, because they're going to accumulate more of sihr. Now, what is the relation of this hadith to the title which the author, rahimahullah, established? The relation is that from the kinds of sihr is learning astrology in order to use it so as to link worldly events to it. The author, when he mentioned this hadith, he said, Isnaduhu sahih. And this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad, and also Abu Dawood, and Abu Dawood kept silent regarding its authenticity. And Ibn Majah, and al-Tabarani and al-Bayhaqi from the hadith of Ibn Abbas. Our Shaykh rahimahullah considered that the sanad, the chain of this hadith, although weak, however, from the side of meaning, it is authentic because it is supported by other texts. And it should be noted that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah authenticated this report, and also al-Iraqi and al-Dhahab. We will stop here inshallah, and we continue in the next session. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa sallama tasliman kathira. Okay, go ahead please. Go ahead. What's the proof that if you recite Ar-Rahman 1, who recites this name 100 times will get sharp memory? Where is the evidence for this? Are you asking me what is this? I asked you where is this from, because I have no knowledge from where is it. No, I have no idea of, I haven't heard of this hadith. I have no knowledge of this. I didn't come across something authentic of this kind.